Translation and Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence, yet I am still attracted by the delineation of pastimes of the Lord, who described, who is described by enlightened verses. So if you repeat after me, O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence, yet I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. So, the purport, the absolute truth is realized as the impersonal Brahman at first instance by philosophical speculation, and later on as the supersoul by further progress of the transcendental knowledge. But if by the grace of the Lord an impersonalist is enlightened by superior statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he is also converted into a transcendental devotee of the personality of Godhead. With a poor fund of knowledge, we cannot adjust to the idea of personality of the absolute truth and the personal activities of the Lord, and are deplored by the less intelligent impersonalist. I'll just read that sentence again. With a poor fund of knowledge, we cannot adjust to the idea of a personality of the absolute truth and the personal activities of the Lord. So this is the impersonalist aspect. So, and they are deplored by the less intelligent impersonalists. But reasons and arguments together with the transcendental process of approaching the absolute truth help even to the staunch impersonalists to become attracted by the personal activities of the Lord. A person like Sukadev Goswami cannot be attracted by any mundane activities. But when such a devotee is convinced by superior method, he's certainly attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord. The Lord is transcendental, as are his activities. He is neither inactive nor impersonal. Om Dhyana Timrandasya Jnananjana Salakeya Chakshon Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vancha Kaupatrupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanabheyo Vaishnavabheyo Namo Namaha. So, it's interesting how that Sukadev Goswami, while in the womb of his mother, he spent 12 years in the womb, and which is an interesting thing. He didn't want to come out into the material world. He was a Brahman realized soul, an impersonalist aspect. He was fully realized in the impersonal aspect. But when he decided to come out by the will of the Lord, that into this world, he met his father, And his father, he wanted to give him the greatest gift. Srila Vyasadeva. Divipyana Vyasadeva. His father, he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was his final education. And this turned his impersonal relationship into a personal one. There was a development. This Bhagavatam can, if the Lord willing, can even be effective on the impersonal aspect of knowledge. And so we see it here. Now what I'd like to do is to read from the Canto 1, and it's in Chapter 7 of Canto 1. So bear with me. And it talks about this aspect of when his father, Srila Vyasadeva, spoke to him. And it starts with Canto 1, Chapter 7. Simply by giving, translation this is, simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. And we've been born into this world where somehow that in a material body, we have a material subtle body, you know, the false ego and the mind and so-called intelligence. And this is affecting us under the modes of material nature. So there has to be guidance through these modes of material nature. We seek advanced devotees to do this, to break this hard knot that's of this material attachment, family, home, children, all these things are in this world, but actually are so temporary, because Arjuna had to learn the lesson in the Bhagavad Gita. He was there. He didn't want to fight with his relatives. He was attached to them as they are now. What can I do? It says in Dharma Shastra that I shouldn't fight them. You know, I go to hell. But Krishna had to enlighten them of the eternal nature, or remind him of his eternal nature. And, you know, it's interesting, isn't it, when they say remind. You've got to put a new mind in, isn't it? It's a development. And this new mind is the mind that will be spiritualized by hearing the topics of the Lord. So it says here, the feeling and the loving devotional service to the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once to extinguish lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness, because that's what we're born into. And so just after that, this is verse 8. The great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, Sukadev Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. So here we have that also the great sage Vyasadeva had to be reminded that there was something missing in his by Narada. He said, look, there's something missing. You're not speaking about Krishna. You're talking about this Kamakanda type situation where it's fruitive in its nature. You can worship demigods. You know, you can offer sacrifices and all these things. But this is now being overtaken by this input. He says, you must speak on the topics of the Lord. Thus came the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the great sage Vyasadeva, after compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam and revising it, taught it to his own son, because also Lord Brahma had been spoken to also in this Bhagavatam, within his heart. The Lord revealed it within his heart. So we're in the Brahma Sampradaya, okay? So then, his own son, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who was already engaged in self-realization. So he was, when they say already engaged in self-realization, his understanding was still impersonal. So he had to be educated by his father to enlighten him as to the personal aspects of this Lord, the supreme absolute truth, through a personal service and devotion. Excuse me, I'll just... text, again, Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 11, English translation, Srila Sukadeva Goswami, son of Vyasadeva, was not only transcendentally powerful, he was also very dear to the devotees of the Lord. Thus he underwent the study of this great narration of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was interesting, because he realized it then, he's speaking it. It says in, I think it's chapter 19 of Canto 1, that he realized it through experience. The experience, the inner experience that was revived by his father, giving him the personal aspect. So, going back now to today's verse, into the purport. So that was the sort of the groundwork that was done by his father, and he was doing a real good job with his son, you know, because he was listening, you know. He was touched by his, you could say, his enlightened tuition. O saintly king, this is translation of today's verse, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence, yet I was still attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord. So he's referring to, yeah, I was in transcendence, but I became attracted by the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who is described by enlightened verses. Whew. Bhagavatam, so powerful, so beautiful and charming. It there are so many things and aspects, and we were studying in our Srimad Bhagavatam Sangha Vitrasura pastime. And you have two devotees of the Lord there. You've got Lord Indra, and you've got Vitrasura, yeah, Vitrasura. He's there, but somehow, by his previous life, which became revived, he was in a demon's body, and he was cursed to get a demon's body by offending Mother Parvati. And so, but he accepted the curse at that time. As a devotee, he took the humble position. And that's interesting too. Humble position. It's very nice, but though it was like a spontaneous thing, you know, he couldn't help but laugh to see Mother Parvati on the lap of Lord Shiva. he sort of forgot himself, you know, as we do too. We forget ourselves, you know. And he was chastised. He was given another body, Vitrasura, amazing body. But it was transcendentally situated because of his previous life. He'd remembered these things that come back. And this remembering, it can only be the Supreme Lord. He says, I'm situated in everyone's heart. From me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And so sometimes we forget ourselves. Arjuna said that on the battle of Kurukshetra. Krishna, I'm forgetting myself. My Gandiva bow is slipping from my hand. What can I do? He felt helpless. And he turned and said, look, what shall I do? And so, but Vitrasura, by this revived consciousness, the super soul was there, and this inner devotion that was there was revived. This was his chance. And Lord Indra, who's also a devotee of the Lord, but still attached to this world because of his, you could say, his attraction still for the beauty of the heavenly planets, wasn't quite there. He was still doing his service to the Lord as a demigod. And he was attached to that service. But that means he had to do a service he didn't want to do then. Because he found out Vitrasura was a devotee. He faltered. But he was instructed by the Lord, you kill this demon. You know, that was within him. That was his duty. He was fighting for the demigods. And so he was given the position of, as you could say, the liberation of Vitrasura. And, awkward time. Vitrasura said, no, you've got to do your duty. You've got to destroy me. That's your duty. He reminded him of his duty. So he wanted to go. He wanted to leave. And we should know that, like Srila Prabhupada, his act of leaving was not only leaving this world, sort of, but he left his books. He left his disciples. But at the same time, when they tried to switch off the camera that was filming, he said no. He stopped that person who was trying to stop the filming. He says, no, this is the final lesson. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to give class, even in his departure. And this is his wonderful nature, the sacrifice. And likewise, King Parikshit, that's what he's doing. He's giving his life. He knows, he's a Mahatma. He knows the Supreme Lord is in charge. He's this is a like a divine intervention, and with this resolve that the Lord was somehow behind this punishment that he had to receive the curse of a young Brahmin boy. Also, that young Brahmin boy was also under the influence of the Supreme Lord. That curse had to be given. Why? For our sake. He was an instrument. And we start to look. By the will of the Lord, in that last chapter, kept saying, by the will of the Lord. And this is our salvation, actually. To know that that with the Lord, whatever is happening to us is by the will of the Lord. And if I can find it amongst my paraphernalia here, I'd like to read you what Prabhupada says about this, the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord. I'll have to remember it. He says in a letter to Jayapataka, the surrendered soul, a surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, I'm meant to be doing. So that's interesting. We should understand that actually, with the Supreme Lord within us, he's controlling every aspect for our well-being. He says the Supreme Lord is situated there, and everything is happening according to his plan. So it says, whatever I'm doing now, Shri Shri Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Shai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Shai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Shai. So whatever I'm doing now, I'm meant to be doing. So it's not by chance that we're all sitting here and that we had to be separated for a while. We can understand that there are lessons to be learned in this this COVID experience. This disease, the disease of the material world. But it gave us maybe just a little understanding of this, the ingredient of association with the devotees in a very personal way. We need it, not necessarily in a physical sense, because that doesn't always have to be there. At the Bhadavikur, etc., he was, the gopis came to see him, wasn't it, just after that. And all his friends embraced him, his brothers, his, you know, his, all those people that he knew. But they happened to have a male body. But the gopis themselves, whether it be his mother or father or whatever, and that they couldn't embrace him. There's like a Vedic principle. But what they did and what Krishna did, they embraced each other with their eyes. It's not a physical aspect. It's an inner aspect. The embrace is within the heart. And we should know that actually this COVID expression of the Lord's mercy, you could say, is also taught us a lesson that also we have to reveal our heart. It's not necessarily in a physical sense, but in an inner sense, that we had to make that separation caused by this disease that's still going on throughout the world, that we had to realize that there's something is causing us to make whatever experience we get with the Lord is precious. And so because it reunites us with him, and it's a heart experience. And so, and also our association with each other, certainly advanced devotees and not so advanced devotees appearing, you know, you could say, I know with Jankanath Prabhu, he was like a wonderful example, a special person with a short life, but somehow Krishna took him back. He'd done all he had to do to keep the body. And maybe there was a chance, which he tried. But then Damodar Krishna Prabhu revealed to us that actually that moment when they tried a blood transfusion on him, it was after that he was in such pain. He knew nothing but pain. And he said, that's it. It's finished. And so, what he did, he let the Lord take over. But he was in association, wonderful association of the devotees here who did their service for him. And so he was given the greatest treasure as well. And he was always appreciative. So for me, when I see my years of service here, that actually I was an impersonalist when I was doing my job. It was the service, and I didn't necessarily see the devotee that I was doing service with. So they were just like instruments to be used for achieving a service. Impersonal. Very impersonal. So that's a lesson that Jankana sort of revealed to me, that actually had this personal aspect in all situations, whether it be his family, friends, relatives, everyone. Non-devotees, devotees, all the living entities. And this is what is, the devotees are the friends of all living entities too. They show all respect to all living entities. And so it's nice to know that the trees respect it, because in there's a spirit soul. And we have to understand, we don't mistreat them. We don't just hack them, or, you know, because we want to just, it's the way we're feeling or what we're doing. We have to know there's a soul there. The duck there is performing its own thing. The geese, though, well, they're doing dirty things all over the things. So they're spirit souls. And it's that thing we have to, is just respect. It's their nature. So we're not, hopefully, slaughterers of those living beings that are getting in our way, though it does happen unknowingly. Ants, we might tread on an ant. Judd Barrett was the classic case of that when he was carrying King Rahugan, I think it was, and the seat, or the what he was on, was rocking from side to side because he was trying to avoid treading on ants. That made him Rahugan pretty angry. But then another revelation came. He spoke transcendental knowledge. He broke his silence, that he wanted, it was by the will of the Lord, that this king should understand the supreme truth, the personal aspect of God. And so, though it broke his silence, it was for sacrifice to the Lord. It was a service. So he wasn't an impersonalist in the end at all. He just wanted to go back to Godhead. But he did it in such a way that he was giving to somebody before he left. And so Judd Barrett, you know, you see these sacrifices, and Parikshit's another one. And the devotees still leaving their body now when their time's right. By Krishna's arrangement, they leave the body. So we support them, whoever they are, wherever they are, as best we can, by association. And also the other thing is that the spiritual master, Lord Jankanath, has a spiritual master, and that was his number one service. But he was exhausted as well. I saw him sometimes completely exhausted, trying to do so many things. But he actually was the master of the multitask. It's amazing, you could say. But at the same time, you know, it was because of his need to spread himself about in whatever way he could. So this is very revealing. Yeah, so this is what we should do. is our relationship with each other. Spread ourselves about in helping each other back to God, each head, as best we can. Okay? And tolerate our differences. Because that's the spiritual muscle. Because we're not all the same. We can't be. But if we say that's right, that's wrong, that's dualities, that's a material conception. No, everybody's a devotee, but we're struggling together. And that's the best. We have to learn that. So, any questions? We got maybe 5 minutes to 5:30. Comments, questions? Okay. Oh, sorry, Madhati, over there.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, thank you for your class. So you said that Shukadev Goswami, he was impersonalist before his father explained to him.
Yes.
So how did he become impersonalist?
It's very interesting, actually. I'm not sure about this, but this touches on another pastime, and it's in the Padma Purana, where Sukadev Goswami, actually Sukha, he means he's like a parrot, and he's Radharani's parrot. And there's a pastime where he became into the human form. And he'd listened to Lord Shiva speak the Bhagavatam as a parrot, but somehow there was some differences, and I think he was sort of punished in that way, that he would take a rebirth. That he would come into this world, and perfection for our sake was given. So I would have liked to have read it, but it was quite a long little pastime, how he was a parrot, and how Lord Shiva was speaking Bhagavatam to the demigods, and as a devotee of the Lord, guiding the personless aspect. That's Lord Shiva's job. He's the great devotee. It's a wonderful devotee. So he was passing on that. But that you could say that maybe that was his penance, to become as an impersonalist, to show us how an impersonalist can become a personalist by the grace of the Lord. It just shows us, isn't it? Maybe it's an illustration. This is maybe my speculation, of course, but I can't quote Shastra on that. But that's what it seems to be. That somehow there's, you see, he says, Krishna says, everything comes from me. And if we understand that, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I'm never lost to him, nor is he ever lost to me. We have to see that Krishna is behind everything. A surrendered soul sees that everything is part of Krishna's plan. No matter what I am doing now, let me do it with my full attention. And so we realize then that actually we've got jobs in this world. We have to get on with friends, relatives. But that's, Krishna's given you that job. So you transform it into service. 9:27, yat karoshi yadashni yajuosi dadasi yat yatapasasi kuntaya tat karusha madhaparnam. You've got to convert it into devotional service. Whatever you do, do it for me, he says. You have to, it's a change of consciousness. It becomes an act of worship. Oh, this is just a mundane job. No, it's not. Krishna gave you that job. You do it nicely, by example. You're a devotee. You're representing the Lord. Everything becomes an act of worship. Just do what he says. Develop your home life into Krishna's home life. It's the whole transformation of the material energy into spiritual energy through the heart. See everything as service. You have to do that. Otherwise you can't live in this world. Treating it separately. Oh, that's the material world. Oh, this is devotion. I'm not a devotee when I'm not at the temple. That's misconception, you could say, according to the Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhirtam sarvabhutanam shanatpaman shantim ritate. If we understand that the Lord is the Lord of all the planets, the demigods, he's in charge of everyone, he's controlling everyone, and he says, I'm your friend, well-wisher in all circumstances, you become free. Because you know that Lord is looking after you. You become free from the material miseries. Because you know Krishna's looking after you. That verse says so. I'm the beneficiary of all sacrifices. Whatever you do, whatever austerity you perform, do it for me. That's the difficulties. It's austere sometimes, isn't it, life? We just have to live with the difficulties. But it's Krishna's plan. We got to build our character into the character of a devotee. We've got to grow up like children. I'm not getting my way. They're like this, they're like this. No, we don't point the finger. It's me, it's good for me. It's a lesson. Transform our consciousness. These difficulties are lessons. Back to Vinod Thakur says, I'm supremely happy knowing I no longer belong to myself. He says that then also that all difficulties and happiness encountered in your service are equally great treasures. They destroy our ignorance. So we start to see everything as a gift from Krishna. If that answers the question. Okay. Anybody else?
Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. Just following on from that point from Mataji, as well as a point that you mentioned at the end, whereby everybody's a devotee, we're just all struggling at different stages. Could you share some like practical tips on how we can help those who... Yeah. Might be close to us, like family, friends, etc., but they're struggling because they just don't see Krishna consciousness.
Yeah, family, friends is because of our growing up together, it's difficult. There are barriers. We react. There's a possessiveness and there's a rejection at the same time. The possessive can be parental influence. And there can be a rejection because we're rebellious. But no, we become a better son. Give all respect. This is my worshipable parent. They brought me up. They gave me everything I needed. And now I'm here. It's an appreciation of what you've been given. Of how that somehow you're still existing. You're surviving. And that you appreciate each other. And then if you become a good son, you don't fight. My mother said to me, look, I've got my own way. Thank you very much. You know, God's there for me too. But I got my own way. So I had to give her all respect. Because she said in a nice way, that she gave me the understanding that proper respect... But we were there together. It's the company of each other is this understanding that it's a distant one, but it's giving all respect to each other. You don't hug a tiger, do you? You just got to know each other's nature and respect it. you know, this is the way we should be seeing things. All respect, sometimes at a distance. Don't hug a tiger. It's sentimental. You'll get killed. Sentiment, misplaced sentiment, you know. Sentimentality doesn't help us, not really. It's temporary, you see. You know, doesn't last. You know, 1 minute we're fired up, next minute it's loads of material nature. You know, be careful of sentiment. That's all. Okay, does that answer the question? Okay, I think we better call it a day. Not a whole day, but sorry. for the class, there's other services to be done. So thank you for your kind attention, and and thank you for the honour of being here and speaking from these wonderful books that we've got, this Tattva.